Sometimes the microphone back is very hard to get to in all of this stuff. Good morning, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning. It is good that we can enter the house of the Lord and offer him our praise and thanksgiving on this day for all of the good things that God has done for us. As we come, announcements have been before you on the screen, so I hope you have had the opportunity to look at some of them and make note of those which are of most importance to you. A couple of things to highlight. Next Sunday will be Communion Sunday, and so a special encouragement for folks to attend and participate in the celebration of the Lord's Sacrament, and for those who require elements to be delivered, please let, usually it's Brenda, please let Brenda know, and she will make sure that you have those for next weekend. In the bulletin this morning is an announcement regarding our giving goal for the month of May. Last month, we received $12,673 for the operating funds of the church, which enable us to do all of the things that we do here in Cornwall. And so thank you for your generosity in your giving. The goal for May, however, was $14,800. So we've left just a little room to improve. If you can help us improve over the next couple of weeks by placing an additional gift in your envelope to make up for last month, then that would be greatly appreciated. During the month of June, we're going to be doing a collection for the Agape Center. The theme of the month is spreads. So anything that you can put on a piece of toast, we will gladly accept. Primarily, probably the biggest ask is for peanut butter, but any peanut butter or jams or those sorts of things would be greatly appreciated. And finally, it is with sadness that we express the sympathies of the congregation to Fleur and the entire Encorn family on the passing of Yope this past week. The times in the bulletin are not correct. The funeral will be held here at St. John's on Saturday morning. The visitation will be at 10 and the funeral services at 11. No? It's changing again? Stay tuned. We will send out an email to you with the times when they are set. Okay. As you can see, things are a little bit still in flux. As we enter God's house this morning, we light the Christ candle as a visible sign that Christ is the light of the world and that we seek always to walk in his light and to show his love. This morning's call to worship is, as is our custom, a responsive call and will appear before you on the screens. Let us stand as we come into the presence of our Lord. Creator of the cosmos, of eternity and time.
Be with us at this time.
Savior of the world, healer of the nations. Be with us in this place. Breath of all that lives, of people near and far. Stir within our lives. Maker, Spirit, Son, God of here and now, be present in our worship that we may find new ways to be present in the world. Let us come before God this morning in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious Father, you sent your word to bring us truth and your Spirit to make us holy. Through them we come to you now, the mystery of your life. Help us to worship you, one God in three persons, by proclaiming and living our faith in you. Grant this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. Our opening hymn for this morning is number 293 in the Book of Praise. Come, thou almighty King. The words to the hymn will appear before you on the screens. Friends, it is only by the power of God that we are able to stand against evil. Trusting in God's grace, let us confess our sin as we say together the prayer which will appear before you. Blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, our Creator, our Redeemer, our Sustainer, yours is a perfect relationship. One God in three persons, mutual and whole. We confess that our relationships are not that way. We have been too selfish, or we have given too much, or we have accepted too little. We have failed to love after the manner of Jesus. We have let sin drive us away from one another and from you. We long for wholeness and peace, and a sense of well-being. But our sin takes us in other directions. Forgive us and restore us. Pull us to you. With mercy and grace, pull us to you. Amen. Friends, God declares, "Behold, I am making all things new." Hear, therefore, these words, O church. You have been washed. You have been sanctified. You have been justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the Spirit of God, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our hymn is, O God of Bethel, by whose hand, number 654.
Oh,
So we come now for our time of family celebration in the, within the congregation. We come this morning for a special time of dedication in the service. We recognize the gifts that have been provided to the, this church by various members of our congregation and their estates. And so we come now before God for this act of dedication. I would invite the congregation to please stand. And I would invite Nick and Jack to come forward at this time. And I think Nick is to my right and Jack is to my left, if memory serves me correctly. Yes. Hear these words from Scripture. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, "If God will be with you and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and clothing to wear so that I shall come again to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God, and this stone, which I have set up for a pillar, shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give one-tenth to you." Let us pray. Almighty God, without you, nothing is strong. Nothing is holy. With you, everything is good and true and beautiful. May your hand rest on us that all we do may show the honor of your name. All things have their beginning in your creative power. All things are made perfect in your redeeming love. In your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, we look with hope to a new heaven and a new earth, when all of creation will be free to praise its Maker. Lord of heaven and earth, every good and perfect gift comes from you. Send now your Holy Spirit upon us, that our gifts may truly witness to our faith and hope and love. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, this day and forevermore. We come to this moment today within which we receive these plaques to be enduring remembrances of the generous gifts that we have received from the estates of Colleen Cox and Dorothy and John Cook, and of the many initiatives that we have carried out in this place because of them. I'm not sure if either Jack or Nick would wish to speak to these gifts, but...
Well, Reverend Robert, as you know, Colleen was a member here for 65 years. She worked with the Bell most of her life. She never sold a share. And consequently, when she passed, my duty was to convert these shares to charitable gifts, of which St. John's is one of the recipients. And as minister, would you receive this plaque in recognition of her Colleen Cox, my wife, and dedicate it to the glory of God?
Thank you. Jack?
Can I offer a few words?
Yes, please.
Congregation, please be seated. On a day like this, I am reminded of a venerable favorite hymn, one which is known to all of you. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Special thanks to you, Reverend Adams, and to the leadership of St. John's Church for encouraging this special dedication. The gifts were generous and were very much appreciated. Marlene and I here to be back at St. John's. This is our first visit home to this church in nearly 5 years. Hard to believe that that much time has passed, but that's real. But I also close with one other thought about two other people. I also want to recognize Keith Stewart, who lovingly planted these two beautiful crops for us just a few months before we passed. And for those of us who've been here a long time, you know that these two plants are similar to two plants of the past which Keith also created. Cherry wood, and he did it with great passion and appreciation for good work here at St. John's Church. The other person I want to thank is Keith Stewart Gordon. Stewart Gordon is responsible for getting the grounds on the plant and having all the woods that are in front on the plant. So to both of them, Darlene and I, on behalf of the recognizers, we'd like to express our appreciation. And, as duly as my responsibility here this morning, and I knew I'd get to it at some point, as minister of this congregation, will you receive this plaque in memory of Dorothy and John Cook and dedicate it to the glory of God?
I'm going to have congregation stand back up again because I speak in your voice. On behalf of the congregation, I gratefully accept these memorials and dedicate them. In the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, I dedicate these plaques to the glory of God in the memory of Dorothy Cook and John Cook and Colleen Cox. In the name of the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us once more join our hearts in prayer. God of love and power, you hold all souls in life and bind together all your people in heaven and on earth in one fellowship of service and love. We praise you for those who in their generation have been lights in the world, in whose lives we have seen reflections of your goodness and your love. We thank you for all that is pure and all that is true, for all that is beautiful and all that is good in the lives commemorated today, and for the grace that you gave them of thoughtful generosity, for the example that they have left us of faith, hope, and duty, and of love for your church and for the assurance we have through Christ Jesus our Lord that they have entered into glory through the same Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now you may be seated. And you gentlemen may be seated as well. And thank you. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Holy, holy, holy God, guide us by the Spirit of truth this day, that we may hear the word of life you speak, and give all glory, honor, and praise in your threefold name. We pray these things. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
The reading from the Old Testament is from Genesis chapter 28, verses 10 to 22. Jacob left Beersheba and went towards Haran. He came to a certain place and stayed there for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place. And he dreamed that there was a ladder set up on the earth, the top of it reaching to heaven. and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And the Lord stood beside him and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and your offspring. And your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And all the families of the earth shall be blessed in you and in your offspring. Know that I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob woke from his sleep and said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So Jacob rose early in the morning, and he took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up for a pillar, and poured oil on the top of it. He called that place Bethel, but the name of the city was Luz at the first. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and clothing to wear, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And this stone, which I have set up for a pillar, shall be God's house. And all that you give me, I will surely give one-tenth to you. Second reading from the Old Testament, Psalm 119, verses 1 to 8. This is a responsive reading. Happy are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord.
Happy are those who keep his decrees, who seek him with their whole heart.
Who also do no wrong, but walk in his ways.
You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently.
Oh, that my way will be steadfast in keeping your statutes.
Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments.
I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous ordinances. I will observe your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. From the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 to 20. Do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. The sexually immoral, idolaters, adulterers, male prostitutes, men who engage in illicit sex, thieves, the greedy, drunkards, revilers, swindlers, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God. And this is what some of you used to be. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. All things are permitted for me, but not all things are beneficial. All things are permitted for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. Food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach for food, and God will destroy both one and the other. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Should I therefore take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that whoever is united to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For it is said, the two shall be one flesh. But anyone united to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Shun sexual immorality. Every sin that a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against the body itself. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body.
Our next hymn is entitled O So-So. You may think, that's a funny word, I've never heard that before. And that's because O So-So comes to us a gift from the Korean church. And it is a good thing from time to time that we who are the church learn the hymns of other worshiping communities and our fellow believers from places around the world. It shows that we who are the church are united by our faith in Christ, regardless of where we may be. So we will sing this morning O So-So, a Korean hymn. And if, for those, we won't sing it in Korean. But we will sing it, but we might. Once we get to know it well, maybe we'll try the transliteration of the Korean text. But for now, we will sing, Come Now, O Prince of Peace. And I'm going to ask Roy, if you could put the first verse on so that the people can follow the words while Minna is playing the introduction. So the words are before you. Let us stand to sing. And our gospel reading for this morning is taken from the gospel according to John. We return back into our project that we began at the beginning of the year to read through John's gospel. We come now to John chapter 3, verses 25 to 36. Let us listen for God's words to his people. Now a discussion about purification arose between John's disciples and a Jew. And the disciples of John came to him and said, Rabbi, the one who was with you across the Jordan, to whom you testified, here he is baptizing and all are going to him. John answered, No one can receive anything except what has been given from heaven. You yourselves are my witnesses that I said, I am not the Messiah, but I have been sent ahead of him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. For this reason, my joy has been fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. The one who comes from above is above all. The one who is of earth belongs to the earth and speaks about earthly things. The one who comes from heaven is above all. He testifies to what he has seen and heard, and yet No one accepts his testimony. Whoever has accepted his testimony has certified this, that God is true. He whom God has sent speaks the word of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. The Father loves the Son and has placed all things in his hands. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever disobeys the Son will not see life, but must endure God's wrath. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon title, Lesser and Lesser, is one translation's version of John's words, he must increase, but I must decrease. I must become lesser and lesser. The 20th century German theologian Karl Barth had a piece of art directly over his desk in his study. The artwork was a copy of the Eisenheim altarpiece, which was painted by Matthias Grunewald for the monastery in St. Anthony, Monastery of St. Anthony. And I'm going to ask Roy if he could pop the slide with, there it is, the Eisenberg altarpiece, the piece of art that sat above Karl Barth's desk. The center panel in this artwork depicts the suffering of Jesus upon the cross. There's lots of things, actually, that happen in this piece of art. But I'm going to direct your attention to the lower right-hand corner of this center panel. And there we find John the Baptist doing that most characteristic John the Baptist thing, pointing. The Eisenheim altarpiece isn't an attempt to record the historic events of Jesus' death and crucifixion and death. By this time, the time of Jesus' death, John the Baptist had already been killed by Herod. But rather, the Eisenheim altarpiece is a theological statement about the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. There in the center is Jesus, performing that defining act of his life, his dying upon the cross and taking upon himself the sins of the world, that they too might die on the cross. But off to the side, in that lower right-hand corner, with his one long, bony index finger extended, is John the Baptist, pointing. And beside John the Baptist, if you look carefully, is the Lamb of God. Lest anyone should forget, John's role here is to point out that Jesus is the one who suffers and is the one who will take away the sin of the world. But from where you are, there's probably one more little detail to the Eisenheim altarpiece that you can't quite make out. In this image, painted right above John's outstretched arm, right here, Roy, if you could give us the next slide, are words. Artists back then weren't afraid to stick a few words in, lest you miss the point. Right there, in Latin, are the words that we hear in today's text. He must increase, but I must decrease. Lesser and lesser. You see, thank you, Roy. You see, for the early followers of Jesus and for the early church, John the Baptist, John was a bit of a problem. right? We hear it in the text today. John is this strangely charismatic figure in Scripture. We believe perhaps he was part of the Essene community or some other such first century Jewish sect. He lived out in the wilderness and lived a life of deprivation. The descriptions of John, you know, that he ate locusts and wild honey. Well, though that wasn't the description of some trendy New Age diet that you might find at Whole Foods. It was rather the eking out of existence of those desert dwellers who depended on nothing more than God to provide for their every need. But if you can remember all those texts that we read, usually around the Advent season in the church year, then you will also remember that John, apart from being very eccentric, is very popular. People from the surrounding towns, Scripture tells us, would travel out into the desert to be baptized by John and to hear John's preaching. And John's preaching wasn't easy preaching. John didn't stand in the pulpit and try to make you happy for 15 minutes. John's sermon started, "You brood of vipers, who told you to come out and hear the word of the Lord?" Not easy preaching. I dare say I'd probably clear the room if I tried a sermon like that. Not easy. Hard preaching, but compelling. There was something of John that was compelling and drew all of those people out to hear him and to be baptized by him, to submit to the idea of a way of life that was different from the dominant society. And indeed, we hear that problem that the early church wrestled with in our reading this morning. John's disciples come to John and when they hear about Jesus coming out into the wilderness and calling people to repentance, and Jesus' disciples baptizing also. And they say directly to John, "Teacher, the one who was with you when you were across the Jordan, the one to whom you testified, here he is. He's baptizing, and everybody's going after him." John was losing his market share. He was losing control of his audience. What if there weren't enough sinners coming out to the Jordan to support two such teachers calling for repentance? Heaven forbid that we would run out of sinners. And even after Jesus' death and resurrection, you know, there are still disciples of John floating around the ancient Near East. Perhaps you remember Acts chapter 19, in which records one of Paul's early missionary journeys to Ephesus. And there in Ephesus, Paul and his traveling companions encounter a group of disciples who had not yet received the Holy Spirit. They had only received the baptism of John. They were Johannine disciples, not yet followers of Jesus, until Paul had baptized them in the Spirit. Here in this artwork that we look at this morning, and in our gospel lesson this morning, John is placed back into the right context. As the disciples of John rightly say when they bring their report to John, this is the Jesus who he testified to on the other side of the Jordan. John points to Jesus. That is his job. Now, the church has long associated John the Baptist with the messenger foretold by the prophet Malachi in Malachi chapter 3. When Malachi writes, See, I'm sending my messenger who will prepare the way before me. And then suddenly the Lord that you seek will come into his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come. Thus says the Lord Almighty. John is the one who gives the testimony, the one who points the way to Jesus and assures us, behold, this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Likewise, the role and purpose of the church is to testify that Jesus is still the Lamb of God, that Christ continues to take away from us the sin of the world, all of those things that weigh us down and prevent us from becoming the people whom God has created us to be, image bearers of the divine, who delight in the world that God has made. Scripture, history, and even our very church is littered with signposts that point toward the divine. Today we also heard of Jacob's great vision of heaven and of God's angels ascending and descending upon him on Jacob's ladder. And in response to that vision that Jacob has and the promise that goes with it, Jacob erects a cairn of stones to serve as a testimony that this place is holy ground and to be a reminder of the oath that Jacob makes with God in that place. Stone upon stone, testimony to the promise. Stone upon stone. Generations past built this church. Like so many churches throughout the countryside and around the world, they gave generously. They gave their best. Because in their faith, they believed that God was worthy of their sacrifice. He must increase, but I will be less and less. They were willing to set aside their own desires and their own wealth that this might be a holy place, a place where God could draw near to them and to countless generations after them, yet unknown to them. A place of testimony pointing to Jesus who makes us whole with that one constant finger of faith extended. Look around. Each plaque, each name in the sanctuary is the voice of those who have walked this way before us, declaring the glory of our Lord. And for us, the purpose of the church today is to continue in this great relay race of faith, to accept the baton from past generations and carry it faithfully as we run the course of our race, to hand it off to those who will come after us, sharing the good news, inviting friends and neighbors into the fold of those who have seen the self-giving love of Jesus Christ and who find healing and joy in the new life Christ offers. The words and the actions of John are the mission of the church, to point beyond ourselves, beyond this great building, to something far greater still. To the God who gives us purpose and who calls us into his presence, who gives hope and healing to a world that is in need. But he must increase, but we must become less and less, until he becomes all in all. Thanks be to God for his love to us. Amen. Paul writes to the church, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of Almighty God, to present yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Let us offer now our lives to the Lord, that God may use us and all that we have to declare the good news of the gospel. Let us pray. For all that you have given us, we give you thanks, most gracious God, for day and night, evening and morning, for land and sea, for fish and birds, plants and animals, for humankind, and for your Son who came among us with the gift of life abundant. Let your Holy Spirit abide in our midst and work through our gifts, that all people may have joy and peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Once more, let us continue in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent, we acknowledge that you, O Lord, are God of heaven and earth. We praise you, most gracious God, for the wonder and the mystery of your creation, for stars and planets who trace their courses in the skies, for the dawning of a new season of growth and renewal here on earth. For all that you have given us, we give you thanks, O Lord. And we pray for your people around the world. Especially today, we pray for the church in South Africa, Lesotho, Namibia, and Eswatini. We give you thanks for your guiding hand, as your children have put an end to the sickness of apartheid and now work to reconciliation and unity. We pray for your abiding care for those who suffer from the effects of HIV/AIDS, and we give you thanks for retroviral drugs. May they be healing and wholeness to all those who suffer from this dread disease. We praise you, O God, for the working out of your great plan of salvation through the life, death, and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Help us to place our trust in you and to know that there is nothing that can separate us from Christ, neither war nor famine, sickness nor death. Be with those who are going through times of trial this day, and give to them a sense of your abiding presence. We give you thanks, O God, for the gift of the Holy Spirit that enlivens and sustains the church and continues to guide her in paths of faithfulness. We pray for your abiding presence to be with your servants gathered today to meet in General Assembly. May your Holy Spirit rest upon them, a spirit of wisdom and counsel, a spirit of understanding and power, a spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. Grant to our commissioners vision and courage. Unite them in love and peace. Teach them to be trustworthy stewards of the truth that you have given to us. And so guide them in all their doing, that your kingdom may be advanced, your people confirmed in their most holy faith, and your unfailing love declared to the world. Triune God, who was and is to come, assure us that all your promises are trustworthy and true. Hold us in never-ending fellowship with all those who have served their day and generation in the faith and now rest from their labors. And especially this day, we give you thanks for your servant Job. May he dwell within your kingdom of light. And we pray for Fleur, for their family, and all those who loved him most. Grant to us all the peace of your promised kingdom, where we shall ever sing your praises. Until then, hold before us each day the vision of your kingdom that Christ gave to us as he taught us to pray in this manner. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This morning's closing praise is the hymn, Glory Be to God the Father. The hymn is number 298 in the Book of Praise, or as it appears before you on the screen. now, let us go from this place rejoicing in all things, praying constantly, giving thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And may the God of peace sanctify you entirely. And may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen.